This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, coach? Oh! Ça va et vous? Très bien, coach. Thanks, man. Congrats on you. Can't wait. I'm ready to learn, man.
Well, you know, the Spurs have selected David Robinson with the number one overall pick. They have selected Tim Duncan with the number one overall pick. And now you. We know what those guys went on to do. How do you hope to impact the Spurs?
Exactly the same way they did. You know, rings, championships, I mean, say chips, you know, victories.
I love that. Oh, and it's Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Thank you for joining me today so we can break things down, talk about it. NBA draft last night. The trades tried to overshadow the day. There was a lot going on. And we got to talk WNBA today. The full show. Kelsey, welcome to the show, babe.
Thank you so much, Nat. I always love joining you. Like you said, we have so much to get into. So I hope everyone's ready for this special Friday edition because basketball had us busy, Nat. We could take no breaks.
No, I know. It was crazy. But of course, the story of the night is Wemby, of course. I mean, it was the Wemby sweepstakes all year. Do you feel like it was a little anticlimactic? Because there was no doubt about who was going first. Scoop,
right,
who sort of is becoming my fave, was trying to advocate that he's the best. And look, I get it. You know, you all should think you're the best. But we all knew it was Wemby. We all knew Victor was going to go first. And these players are confident, you know, like the way they're talking. I mean, he's already talking about championships and, you know, he's going to do what like greats like Tim Duncan did and those who preceded him. So I love it. I mean, obviously, I think Pop is the perfect coach for him, but I mean, it's just it did for me, it felt a little anticlimactic because it was like we all know it's gonna be him, we're just like waiting for it to happen, there was no surprise, no nothing. So it was just like, I don't know, it felt a little, not, it was exciting, but just a little, you know, some of the thrill was taken out of it.
No, Nat, I think you hit on the important pieces. Like, we've been talking about Wemby, it seems like, for the last 2 months. I think people who aren't even basketball fans knew Victor Wembanyama because that's all every single major sports broadcast has talked about, his height. We know he's 7'5". We get he's from France. We know how great he is as a basketball player. But like you said, I think maybe that took some of the excitement away. But for me, the excitement came from Coach Pop. I mean, we got a smile out of him in the press conference. He said he's excited. He said, I mean, do you want me to jump up and down? Do you guys want me to do a cartwheel? I mean, this is kind of probably one of the more fun Greg Popovich press conferences that we've had in a while. And like you said, Victor's already talking about championships and San Antonio's thirsty for that, all right? It's been a while in San Antonio. I think they need something and someone to inspire them. And so I think that's what he brought. I think even more so, though, what we were excited about with Victor was just seeing his family and how special it was for his brother, his sister, his mom and dad. You could see how much he worked up to that moment. And I think that's kind of what we live for now, Nat, with the drafts now, right? Those family stories, kind of seeing more about who these guys are off the basketball court. So I think it was fun to see that. I think we're excited for San Antonio, but I'm not as excited yet. We saw what happened to Chet Holmgren last season. I would at least want to see him play some good basketball. Hopefully injury does not get to him. But I think folks, you know, be excited for him, root for him, but still give him a chance to breathe and really learn what it is to be an NBA player, because playing abroad, playing in Europe is much different now. But nonetheless, go Wemby, and excited to see San Antonio Spurs merchandise sales go up.
Yeah. And I mean, as you pointed out, another international player. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. The international players just seem to take over. I mean, I think people were doing their research and homework, you know, with some of these players, I think, in the draft. But I think it just shows, you know, college is so different now here in the U.S. There's different pathways to get to the NBA. I mean, so many of us now are talking about the G League, right? The NBA G League and that impact, you know, of these players, Overtime Elite and all of these different pathways and apps. And then also abroad. I mean, you know, there was a tweet yesterday that was so funny. It was like, how many Frenchmen can the NBA draft? Well, the Frenchmen can play good basketball, and that it seems like, because the teams are betting on them. And I think that just shows you too, NBA, and I have a good friend that's an NBA scout, they are sending folks abroad because they are just seeing the talent is not just here in the U.S., especially abroad. You're looking at the size, the athleticism, I think, that you get from a lot of these players. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll get more, you know, Nikola Jokic and, you know, who else, you know, will we get? But all that to say, I think the international impact is obviously just huge.
Yeah, I love that in your feed. And also you pointing out, like, with the G League and, like, Scoot, you know, Henderson, you know, having played there before. I just think, like, the draft is starting to look so different now. And so, you know, and I mean, look, I mean, you know, we're talking about Wemby right now. But, I mean, even, like, the current players, right? You have Luka.
Miles, mute the TV.
I'm sorry? Oh, yeah.
No, I'm saying you're so right when you're saying.
Yeah, we have Luka, we have Giannis, we have, of course, the current champion and finals MVP, Nikola Jokic, right? And so many Joel Embiid, who just won MVP, deserved MVP, not revisiting that, but just going to throw that in. So, yeah, you know, it's just like, it's an international, like, affair in the NBA. And I love that. I think it's great because when I was younger and I grew up, I, like, my family, we were a fan of Patrick Ewing, you know, because we're Jamaican. And it's like, I think sometimes people didn't think of him as, like, international because he did grow up. He did, like, not fully. He spent a number of years in Jamaica, but he was here. So I just, you know, just more international faces, just more diversity in the league. I think it's a great thing, you know? So Wemby just brought a lot of joy last night, a lot of excitement with the number one pick, but there were some other guys, you know, who got picked. You know, I don't think the top three were really that big of a surprise. You had Brandon Miller going second. There was some talk of whether Scoot Henderson would move up to two. Brandon Miller went second, and he did not get the kind of ovation. He didn't get the welcoming ovation in Charlotte. And we've seen this before. We, like, Porzingis, you know, we've seen players get booed before. And what did you think of the reception? Because I'm not sure if they just feel like the wrong player was picked. I don't know if they were booing maybe because of other controversy surrounding him. I'm not sure what to make of that, Kelsey.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the Kristaps Porzingis and, you know, incident, because we all remember when he got drafted and when the reception that he got, the boos very loudly, fans making sure they knew how they felt. And I think going back to the international player point, I think that's because we were newer to that point of international players. I think now NBA fans are getting more used to that. But, you know, with Brandon Miller, you know, when the mascot looks sad, you know it's bad now. And when even the person who gets paid to excite fans during the draft. But I think, you know, Charlotte Hornet fans, I think obviously there's a lot happening around Brandon Miller. We know he's an all-around talent. We know how well he can play as a basketball athlete. But it's some of the other drama, I think, surrounding him, why some people were like, you know, look, we can get somebody else who's just as talented. Now, Scoot doesn't have his size. I think people forget how big Brandon Miller is. I mean, this is a huge athlete, about 6'9". I mean, you're getting a mass athlete. You see what he can do on the offensive boards, you know, and even on the defensive side of the basketball. And I'm speaking too as someone who's lived in Charlotte, understands that Charlotte Hornets basketball atmosphere. But all in all, I think he's going to have to prove his worth and prove his play. Because let's be honest, Matt, the Charlotte Hornets can only go up from years. I think, you know, if Brandon Miller is even to be a glimpse of what he was in college, if he's able to just focus on basketball. And I think if we're honest, we have to talk about the environment that he's going to be playing in the NBA, not only at home, but when he goes on the road, there probably will be fans who won't be as welcoming. Now, if we go back to college and saw his game back, you saw how well he was actually able to play despite kind of all the hostility around. So hopefully he's able to stay focused, you know, seeing his family too during the draft yesterday. But all in all, I think, you know, Charlotte Hornet fans, I think they're just like, let's get somebody talented with less drama around it. Because, you know, Charlotte's like, we don't want this mess. We don't want this mess. But I think give Brandon Miller a chance. I do think he's a very talented athlete. I do think his skills will be comparable to the NBA level. What about you, Nat? What did you think from the booing?
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand their reservations if it is about the other stuff, because, like, they already have a number of players in that organization that have a lot of drama, some, you know, issues, you know, arrests, things like that. So I don't want to you know, take away from the draft and all that happened last night, but I understand maybe their hesitance in maybe perhaps wanting a player that's drama free. Again, I'm not really sure why they were booing. Like, if they just don't think he's a good pick, I'm not sure. But you know, what I do want to say with respect to Brandon Miller, I don't know this young man, and you know, I hope the best for him. And he seems nice, you know, in his interviews. I don't know about his like GOAT picks, but you know, Paul George is one of my favorite players.
Those were questionable.
I won't hold. Like, if Paul George is his favorite player, I don't have an issue with that. If Paul George is his GOAT, that's interesting. But people are allowed to say someone is their GOAT. But that being said, you know, last night during the coverage of the draft, Malika Andrews asked a question about how what evolved with Brandon Miller would impact him, you know, in terms of his draft status. And people were upset, you know, criticizing her. And I'm saying that lightly in terms of, you know, for asking a question about that. She was called out her name. She was disrespected. And like, all right, we just got to stop. We got to stop with the disrespect, you know, when you don't agree with someone's opinion. And I know it's not going to stop because I'm saying it, but Kelsey, you're a Black woman who works in sports. I'm a Black woman who works in sports. I'm only assuming you've been called out your name because I have been repeatedly, you know, it's not okay. And I just, people, I understand this is a happy day for Brandon Miller, but you know who it's not a happy day for? Jamia Janae Harris's family, her child who lost a mother, right? It's a painful time for them. That could be a triggering moment for them. We don't know. Someone's life was lost not that long ago. He facilitated that, whether people like that fact or not, right? Probably unintentionally, which is why he hasn't been charged with a crime, which is why he is assisting the prosecution with this case. He's an assisting witness. But at the end of the day, this is an ongoing case. It's an ongoing matter. Malika is doing her job. It is news. It's not going anywhere. He's going to be asked about it probably until the situation is resolved, right? Probably until the matter is done. Then when the matter is actually done, he'll be asked about it again. It's going to be with him. Okay. And I don't know that if it wasn't Malika Andrews, that someone else bringing that up would have been attacked in the same way. I don't know that she would have been called a bitch and so many things and out of her name if it wasn't Malika Andrews. Yeah. So we need to stop. We need to stop. She's doing her job. She didn't say anything bad about Brandon. Yeah. And I think this is an individual choice for those who cover. Yes, some people can make the decision that they're not going to focus on that or they're not going to ask a question about that. And I don't think she focused on it. She asked a question about it. But some people may choose to. And there's nothing wrong with that because it honestly is news. And it's ongoing. It's not some matter 10 years ago. Please, we need to stop disrespecting women in sports. We need to stop disrespecting Black women in sports altogether. Yes. And she's just doing her job. You can disagree and not like it, fine. Right. We don't need to call her all kinds of names. And I just, you know, I'm sorry. I know this is about the draft, but it really bothered me.
No, and don't apologize, Nat. It needs to be said. Know, like, I think you're touching on everything. And I know this is probably going to go a little bit longer, but I have to say this. I think it's very important to say, you know, Malcolm X, there's a great Malcolm X quote where he said the most disrespected, unprotected person in this country is the Black woman. And we see this time and time again. Unfortunately, not just in sports, but in business and so many others. And we're attacked in ways and we're not protected in so many different ways. And I think, as you said, Malika Andrews is a trained journalist. She's trained at the highest levels. That's why she got to that position that she's in now. And I think sometimes fans forget this. We're journalists. We cover these guys. Sometimes as a fan, you don't realize because you can love a player so much, you don't want to see their downfall. You don't want to see their bad sides. But as a journalist, we have to cover the whole story and all that that entails and all that that involves. And so with Brandon Miller, all that's happening outside of basketball, that is part of his story, whether you like it or not. And us doing our due diligence means that we have to cover that. Now, I get fans saying, why does that have to keep constantly being brought up? But let's remember this story did have an impact. We didn't know if this was going to drop his draft stock. So this story actually is relevant to the NBA draft. I could see people, you know, and I'm somebody, you know, that lives in DC, you know, in Baltimore area. I kind of remember this during the Ray Lewis, you know, situation. And even Ray Lewis is a guy who you could still say that to this day, people still bring up a case, right? That you could say, you know, is long gone, but it's still part of Ray Lewis's story. Now, maybe you don't like if people bring it up or not, but again, this is us doing our due diligence, our work as journalists, and making sure that the audience and viewing audience knows. Remember, when you turn into the NBA draft, you don't know who's watching. You don't know who's caught up to what point. And so I think, you know, Malika Andrews, keep doing you. You know, let Twitter talk. They're always going to talk. But I think attacking her at her name, I think we just lost how to have this civilized conversations. You can disagree with somebody, but do you need to get to that point where you need to disrespect that person? I think Malika gets disrespected time and time again. So many Black women in sports get disrespected time and time again. Now, I will also say, I did tweet, you know, I hope this is a new start for Brandon Miller. It's going to be hard for him. You know, I think he's a young man. He needs to learn. But as you said, we can't forget someone's life was lost. There is a young boy now who's going to grow up without his mother. And we cannot take away from that part of the story. We're going to continue to say her name. Her name needs to be said. This is a young woman who should still be here with us today. This is still a boy who should be able to play with his mom. But Brandon Miller, I also get that, you know, he's younger. We still need the, you know, the legal case to play out. But all in all, this was part of his life. This will always be part of his story. And now it's going to be up to him to show he's bigger than basketball. He's going to have to try to convince fans, you know, who he is as a person. But it is only right if those questions come up. You can't bring anything up if nothing happens. So all in all to say, you know, best wishes to Brandon Miller, but I also cannot, and both of us cannot forget a family that's hurting right now, has lost a daughter, you know, and they're still looking for answers. So again, fans, be mad if you want to, but we're journalists. We're more than fans. And again, we've took journalistic oaths. We've been trained in this, and this is us doing our jobs to our full due diligence. And that's what we owe you all as people who trust in us to tell these stories. So just have to add that, Nat. So don't apologize. No, this needs to be talked about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I will say to Brandon's credit, he said he's learned, you know, about the company he keeps. And I think that's a good lesson. And look, this is an ongoing criminal matter. So he can't speak on it much, but I hope that he does eventually express some kind of remorse, something to the family of Jamia, but it's obviously not something he can speak about right now. No. So until we know more, this will be something that's there. And people, you just gotta get over the fact that it's part of his story. All right, let's lighten the mood a little bit.
We gotta change the mood.
I wanna talk about my fave in the draft. I just have a thing for point guards, and Scoot might be my new fave, I'm sure. Yeah. But he has this little video. I think it's just so cute. They were asking him, who's the most famous person he knows? Like, just take a look at it, because it's such a great little video.
Who's the most famous person in your phone book?
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry?
Yeah.
You think if you FaceTimed him right now, he'd pick up?
If I FaceTime Steph Curry?
Yeah.
Maybe.
You want to try?
I guess. No, I mean, Steph Curry and Caleb McLaughlin. Oh, I'm called Caleb.
You scared of Steph? Is that why?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, there you go.
Yo, they said most famous person in your phone. I said Caleb.
I love that. So he opted not to call Steph because he's scared. I think Steph would answer because Steph tweeted earlier that day. He was watching Scoot. They got a little point guard connection. So I just, he's just funny to me. I love the whole thing about like his family, his sisters helping build his like, you know, brand and all of that. But Scoot, you know, he thought he was the best player in the draft. He says he's the most prepared player in the draft and he credits his G League experience for that. But drafted to the Portland Trailblazers, and we do know that Dame has been indicating, you know, that he may have wanted them to trade that pick, you know, for Zion Williamson, perhaps that did not happen, or just trade it because he doesn't want to go through rebuild. Scoot thinks him and Dame can play together and that he compliments them and he fits in there. So to be determined, frankly, Kelsey, I'm tired of talking about Damon Lillard, you know, Dame and the Trailblazers. To be honest, I feel like neither party wants to look bad. All right. I love Scoot. I don't love his gritty, but I feel like neither party wants to look bad. I think Dame knows, like, I believe Dame wants to stay there, but if they don't, he doesn't want to rebuild. So if you don't want to rebuild, but you want to stay there, then, you know, like, you need to be traded, but he doesn't want to ask out for a trade. And they're going to look bad if they trade him, but like free agents don't come to Portland. They just really don't, really. And yeah. So like they're like, we're not going to pass up on this potential player and Scoot, who many do think is actually the better player than Brandon, although Brandon is a great prospect, but didn't make sense to pair him with Lonzo Ball, which is why he probably went third. So I just don't know, but I'm tired of the Blazers and Dame. Honestly, I don't care. Miami wants to hold out like a mistress waiting. You know, Miami's holding out like a mistress waiting for them to leave their husband. But like, listen, I'm just over it. I you know, I don't really care, to be honest. I'm over it. What do you think?
You know, I think this whole Portland, you know, Portland is this. Portland doesn't want Dame to be the one that got away, right? So they're still trying to figure things out. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too. But Dame is saying, you know, hold up, wait a minute. I want to be loyal, but you got to keep me happy to make this house a home. Essentially what we're saying, what we're seeing. And in the draft, we saw Portland, they made a decision. They went younger and they got a guy, I think, that builds around the rebuild, like you said. And we've heard Dame say, you know, quite frankly, he wants another veteran, another guy that he can pair up with, because, you know, Dame wants to start winning, you know, in Portland. We know how great he is, but obviously he needs help. And we keep saying all of the, I mean, this week, what has it been? All these other guys going to teams where they can be help and assistance. And you talked about, you know, Portland isn't a top market. You know, you're not running to get to Portland. No offense to folks in Portland. But all in all, I think, you know, Dame just needs to make this decision. Either you want to stay loyal and you'll stay there and you give Portland your all, and we'll remember you as that great player that, you know, finally did stay loyal to the cause. And you can be that guy. We need good guys in the NBA, Nat, let's be honest. But otherwise, you have options. And people have talked about him maybe going to Miami, maybe going to Philadelphia. So a decision needs to be made. But all in all, Dame, we want the best for you. We love Dame time, but we also love winning time. And we want that for you. So make it work or go somewhere else. It's that simple. But I'm not tired of talking about Portland, Nat. I like talking about Portland because they're a team that deserves more and deserves better.
You can talk about them without me. All right, y'all. We'll be right back. We got company. Stay tuned.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I love that you were on a plane when you found out you were traded to Washington, and then we see the news that you're going to Golden State. How'd you find out?
My son again.
No. Yeah.
I was at my gym right here, here in Winston, playing pickup hooping, and after the game got over at one, Lil Chris came up to me and told me, Yeah.
What was your reaction?
Oh man, I was excited. I was excited to get a chance to go play for a franchise like that with the great players that they have. It's crazy how life comes full circle. You know, for the last 10 years, I've been competing, maybe longer than that, against them. But I'm all about winning, you know, so whatever's going to give me an opportunity to win, I'm all for it.
That's interesting about the being full circle when you put it that way, right?
Yeah.
I hadn't considered that. You're exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that make you think about?
Just everything. Like, I'm excited. I'm grateful. Like I said, to get an opportunity to play with, you know, that core group of players in Steph, Clay, Draymond, Looney, Wig, all them. Play for Steve.
Yes, Steve Kerr. That's
yeah.
an amazing coach.
It's crazy. I mean, just happened, so I'm still processing it all. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I definitely want to get on the phone and talk to those guys or whatnot and see what's what.
As you first process, how do you think that you fit into that system?
I mean, for me, I didn't play, you know, on a few different teams now in different situations and systems or whatnot. So I don't know. What I do know is that when you play with really good players, you figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll do that.
Well, there you have it. Welcome to the show, Zena Cada and Marcus Thompson, both of The Athletic.
Hello.
Hello.
Wow. Hi.
I have had a day now
so much,
to process.
So much there.
Mm-hmm. I've had a day to process. Chris Paul coming to the Warriors. So I'm going to actually hold my immediate reaction because I heard Vincent Goodwill was on yesterday and gave me a little shout out for what he thinks my reaction might have been to this news, telling people to check on me. So Twitter had a field day with me. But I want to go to company first. So Zena, because you're wearing a Wake Forest, you know.
Handerer.
You know, it's so crazy.
What shirt?
I promise you, y'all, I'm showing out for Wake Forest School of Business. Shout out Demon Deacons.
The Handerer.
Funny thing, I put this on today because it's super comfortable. I literally did not even think, oh yes. Not only, I think, was Chris at Wake when this fig like happened, but yeah, Winston, shout out to Winston. Anywho, yes, news dropped. I think more than anything, not thinking about, you know, how is Chris gonna fit into the offense? How is Chris gonna fit into the culture of the team? All the above. I think we were all just shocked that this happened this soon with Jordan Poole. I mean, all of us knew that something was going to have to happen between Draymond and Jordan in terms of keeping the two on the team after the incidents of last season. But man, that it was a shock for this to come through. And I think that that's the part that we were all just kind of just grappling with, at least for me, at least at the start.
Well, Marcus, I know you tweeted like there's very few things that surprises you. I'm sort of paraphrasing, but you were surprised by this. And we know you're very in tune with this team. So what was it that surprised you so much about this?
Well, just that Chris Paul would be on board with playing with Steph. And I mean, this was a heated rivalry. Yes. I mean, this was everything, especially for I know a lot of people know the dynasty and all that, but the come up before they were winning championships was going through Chris Paul and Lob City. And I mean, Steph kind of brought it up a couple months ago when he was like, it ain't 2014 no more. Like,
right.
But that was the mindset, right? It was just like, hey, he had to get through Chris Paul. Like, and Chris Paul was like, yo, you're not coming past me. And once he did, then it was beef, right? Like, once he got past the Clippers. Yeah, it was like all that. Remember 2018? When he shimmied back at Steph. I mean, they've had this.
Kick me off the court again, boy. You know?
Yeah, like all this is so, there's so many layers to this whole relationship. But it was shocking, but I am kind of warmed by it as an old black man myself. I think it's great that they don't wait till 10 years after their careers to get together on TNT and talk about how they sorry they didn't talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad they're doing it now. And the truth be told, there is no Steph Curry without Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul was the inspiration and a standard bearer that pushed Steph Curry to another level. And he was the guy from North Carolina who represented for point guards, who gave hope to all the little high school kids. Steph was a little freshman. Like, Chris Paul matters to Steph. And he was, when he was getting drafted before he was coming to the league, he spent time with Chris Paul and his family. I mean, these two kind of belong in the same sentence, right? And not just because, like, the rivalry on the court, right? There's some like there's a strong like familial North Carolina connection, and I'm glad they get to enjoy that instead of waiting till they old and gray and crying on like NBA TV in 20 years about how they should have been best friends.
Okay. Well, you know, we have the Washington perspective here. as well, because I mean, the Warriors got Chris Paul, but the Warriors send out Jordan Poole, who for me, I'm actually just very devastated by. You know, I expected it. I didn't believe anything Dunleavy said the other day when he was just like, oh yeah, you know, we want to keep Jordan and blah, blah, blah. I didn't believe none of that. I think I tweeted something like, guys, he's not going to like get in the presser and say we're trading him. Sure. So I didn't believe him. I thought a trade was coming. I did not think it was going to be a Chris Paul trade. I did think something was going to happen during the draft. So a little bit earlier than I anticipated, but I expected it. So I wasn't that surprised he got traded, but I was surprised that it was for Chris Paul. And so Jordan Poole is going to Washington. I think it's just great that he's going to get a new start. And so Kelsey, I want to know, you know, someone who follows this team, knows them, covers them. How do Wizards fans feel about this? How do you feel about this? What do you think of this trade? Because just earlier this week, people were talking about how Washington is stupid. They gave up everything. They don't got no sense. Ooh. Nothing's changed. And now people are like stepping back and looking and say, you know, they made out okay. So how are you feeling about all the moves?
Let me tell you, there are lots of feelings and emotions right now here in our nation's capital. And I'm talking about a Washington Wizards team who, if you've been to Capital One Arena, you knew the only full games for Wizards were when the away teams were good. So when Golden State would come to town, or when people wanted to see LeBron, they would go see the Lakers games. But all in all, we've got a brand new front office in Washington. They're rebranding their whole sports network. They took over NBC Sports Washington. So all in all, it's just a newness that I think Wizards fans, we knew we needed to rebuild, but they didn't know when it would happen. And I'll tell you, I think Jordan Poole has been the one piece of stability that Wizards fans have felt like they've gotten. Because remember, this is a Wizards team who for a long time was under John Wall's cartilage and then Bradley Beal's. You know, you look at this team now, you look at the big three, which has all of a sudden exploded. You know, Bradley Beal, when healthy, was the leader of this team. He was the shooter for this team. And then you take away the other top scorer, who was Kristaps Porzingis, who we had to see go off to Boston. And so I think for Wizards fans, just knowing that they get somebody like Jordan Poole, who is a shooter, they're like, okay, at least we have one person who we can trust. I know Tyus Jones is another one that Wizards fans, and I'll be honest, a lot of Wizards fans, they're still getting new to Jones. They maybe weren't watching as many Memphis Grizzlies games, but Jordan Poole is one they know they can trust and hopefully be a cornerstone piece for this Wizards squad to build in. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of Wizards fans are just saying, how long is Jordan Poole's day going to be here in Washington? As we talked about kind of before, you know, who wants to be part of this rebuild? But I'll tell you, I think the biggest thing is we've gotten so used to mediocrity in Washington, D.C. We just thought this year would be more the same. We knew Bradley Beal had this crazy contract, the no trade clause. You know, who would want to take that on? Bradley Beal, star player in D.C., sure. But on another team like in Phoenix, he's an option. And I think that's going to be something he has to get used to. But I think Jordan Poole is the one player that Washington fans can kind of rally behind with this new front office, because this new front office, they weren't getting welcome into many Washington homes, Nat, to start off with, because Wizards fans, they didn't know who this roster was. I mean, the Wizards put out an advertisement with Denny Avia as the main centerpiece. And if you've been watching these Wizards, fans are like, wait, wow. Denny is the guy that you are pushing and promoting? But they had to, because they didn't know who they were going to be able to push and promote. So just lots of feelings in Washington. I think this is what the Wizards needed, because otherwise it'd be more of the same. Wizards filling in, finishing in the middle of the East, maybe making the playoffs, maybe not, but not winning a championship. And in D.C., we're tired of saying the last championship was with the Bullets. And the Wizards need to create their own identity, and hopefully this will be the start for the Wizards to just create new and to get fans back in seats in Washington, D.C. to really support this Washington Wizards team, who has had good pieces, but for a long time, you know, hadn't been able to put it together. And I'm old enough to remember the fun days with Gilbert Arenas, Caron Butler, and Antoine Jameson. So Wizards fans are just wanting more good basketball in D.C., Nat.
Yeah, I mean, well, you'll get that with the pool party, right? Like, he's a show. Like, when he's on, he's a show. Mm-hmm. And he's going to, I think, have a lot more freedom there. And I like the pairing with Tyus Jones. So I think you guys are getting... You know, I don't know how many games y'all are winning, but I think it'll be fun.
Marcus is disagreeing.
You know, God, he's not going to get to put up some numbers, Marcus.
No, you acting like you like the pairing. I like the pairing of Jordan Poole and Tyus.
I do. I would have preferred they took Tyus instead of Chris Paul, but you know, whatever.
I agree. I would say I probably agree with that too. One of the things about Jordan Poole, though, going into Washington, that I'm most excited about, not only is it this reset away from the drama of the Warriors and what happened off court, and then also just having an end of the season that just wasn't, I think, characteristic of what he's capable of. he's getting away from the spotlight. It's so hard as a young player to be in the midst of the Warriors' success and be asked to perform consistently on the same level as a Steph Curry. And even when you're playing 82 games a year, even when you are still producing, I mean, he had a lot of 30-point games last year. You're still not elevated to this level of, oh, you are a strong caliber player, because it's never going to compare to the likes of Steph Curry. Or if you're not producing a ton of wins, no one's ever going to give you the credit, or not no one, majority of fans are not going to give you the credit that you're due if you were going to an average team and produce the same amount of production. So I'm excited that he is not going to be in an unrealistic, I think, right, kind of chamber of basketball expectations, and he finally does get to just play out. And now we're going to see, is the reason that his contract was as big as it was, is it going to be worth it, right? Like, was he properly evaluated by what he's going to do in DC? So I'm excited for him for more reasons than that. And I said this on my Instagram yesterday. Kudos to Jordan Poole. His story has been amazing. He has been a professional throughout all of it. Imagine getting drafted, coming onto a team where your star players get hurt, and you're having to play through that without your star players. You have to play with a kind of hodgepodge of a team. You're not playing well. They send you to the G. COVID happens. Your G League bubble is in a bubble, right? So no one's actually seeing what you're doing. You come back and you apply everything that you learned in the bubble about your game, about your ability to lead, and you kill it, help the Warriors win a championship. And then the start of the season comes. We know all what happened. We don't have to continuously repeat it, but then the season comes and your playoff game isn't that great. And throughout all of it, the entire fan base is saying, trade him. I can't think of a more class act for someone his age to have handled everything that he went through the way that he did. And I really wish him luck. I do.
This is why I'm heartbroken. Y'all acting like this is a good thing. This is terrible for Jordan Poole.
It is.
He don't deserve this. I love Jordan.
He's going to be the star in D.C. No.
Exactly. That's like saying, hey, man, you're going to get the keys to the Kingdom of Disney World and you end up like the manager at Six Flags. Like, this is a downgrade. Like, this
better.
Jordan was supposed to be the Steph Curry heir apparent. And now he's like playing in front of nobody in DC. He deserved better than this. He's gone through his little rough period. Like, nah, he needs to be on a winning team. He needs to be in a situation that matters. Now, Jordan, nobody's still going to watch him. Every now and then, he'll do some crazy highlight, he'll make Sports Center, but we're gonna forget about how good Jordan Poole was, and he'll be like a high volume scorer on a bad team. I don't wish this for Jordan Poole. I hope he gets out of there or they get a team around him. This is not good for my guy JP. He's better than this. He is better than this.
No, I look, I think he's
Tito Marcus.
No, I'm sorry, Kelsey.
Go ahead, Kelsey. Go ahead, Kelsey.
First of all, I just got to say, we got to show love to DC. All right. We got to show love to DC. We're going to get Jordan Poole in our New Balance culture. He's going to be rocking New Balances around the city, hopefully, and just, you know, fit in with the culture around here. But nonetheless, I get what you're saying. But the Wizards have needed this. And to your point, I think what this new Wizards front office is saying is we want to rebuild around him. And then also to your point, Marcus, that's why people are saying, how long will Jordan Poole be happy in Washington? Because again, these are all new pieces coming together. But I also think Washington is probably one of the few places he could have went and been the guy. And I don't care what anybody says, you know, at one point in your career, you do want to be the guy. Now on a bad team, well, you know, and I'm not going to say fully on a bad team yet. We have to see how this Washington Wizards team pairs. Now, obviously, they're going to have their work cut out for them in the East. But nonetheless, I do think Jordan Poole will just get a fresh start, a fresh leaf. I don't think anybody will be throwing bows around him in the Washington Wizards locker room. So there will also be a safety aspect there as well. And that's no shots fired. But all in all, I think Jordan Poole is what the Wizards need.
Shots fired.
And I just want to clarify that. Like, my happiness is not because I think, like, it's because I just want Jordan Poole to have peace. Like, I just don't think there was peace last year on the Warriors. The man unfollowed Draymond the moment the trade news was announced. I mean, like, what are we doing on Instagram? Right. Like, I wish it didn't come to this. I do. I really do. That was always my sentiment, but I knew that's what it was going to come to. So
there's a middle ground, like Orlando's right there. Like,
but that's not who they traded with. That's not who
I know. That's why I feel bad. I feel better if he went with some horses with him. Like, you know, now, I mean, look, if the Wizards, put, you know, they got a new system, they got a new GM. If they put some pieces around them, all right. But like, I just feel like, man, he's going to be languishing in exile for like 3 years. Like, come on, man. I feel bad for my guy.
Okay, Marcus, well, I just want to give you the last word on this thing. I just want to know. Tell me quickly what you feel about the Chris Paul move, though, and his fit for the Warriors. Health, we know with Chris Paul, it's always health barring. So we know if the Warriors can keep him healthy, if Celebrini can do that, how do you like this fit for the Warriors?
I think there's this idea of Warriors basketball that people cling to that I think Chris Paul is the opposite of that, but I think it's exactly what they need sometimes. They need to not turn the ball over. And now they got like the best assist to turnover ratio in like history, right? They need to slow down. The game slows down. I got it. They play fast. It's paid. All that's great. But in the playoffs, the game slows down and you need to get a tough two. Chris Paul can do that. They need somebody when Steph is getting hounded and they need to take him off the ball, who they can give him the ball and like breathe a sigh of relief. We thought it would be Dante DiVincenzo. It wasn't really him. It wasn't really Jordan Poole. Like Draymond was turning it over. It's like, yo, who can we give the ball to and be okay while Steph does his thing off the ball? Chris Paul gives you that. So in many ways, he doesn't fit the Warriors style, but I think the issue is the Warriors need to adapt to a different style. Yeah. They need to just not be one note. So in that sense, end of the game, you know, 5 minutes left in a close game on the road. I like having the ball in Chris Paul's hands with Steph and Clay and Wiggs on the side. I like that. I don't know what you're going to do defensively, but it's definitely a different pace from like trying to run off eight screens and hope they don't jump the screen and take it through. Yes. Like there's a limit to that. This is the anti-Warriors, and they needed an anti-Warrior. It's just that he's 39, and he'll be 39 at the time. And like, we don't know if he'll be on the court. If he's on the court, I like it. That's the question, though.
Well, Marcus, thank you for that point of view. And that's what I wanted, because after I got past my issues.
Whoa, you've already gotten past it? Hold on. That's fast for you. Look at that.
I'm just saying, when I thought about it from a basketball perspective, he feels needs that the Warriors need, right? And so I will have to work towards the other stuff. But Marcus, Zena, thank you for joining us. You will be back to talk more
Baseball
later, guys.
Bye. Enjoy Chris Paul as a Wizard for a bit.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So in the middle of the NBA draft last night, this news drops that Bulls Lonzo Ball is expected to miss the entire 2023-24 season for knee rehab. And it just sucks. I hate that for him. And I'm sure as a Bulls fan, it was just awful to hear. And so let's talk about it. We have Sabria Whitaker with us, who, yeah, she's usually here to talk WNBA, but she knows all things Chicago sports. And Sabria, I just want to know, you know, founder of Grow the Game, what did you think when you heard this news drop last night?
I thought, like you said, it sucks. It's definitely a blow. You know, obviously we've been getting different timelines. It's been a journey since, you know, this injury happened, since 2022 in January. And so we ended the season, what we thought would have been a high note, a little disappointing, obviously, you know, not to go further in the postseason. And you think we're getting him back, and then you hear that you're probably not going to see him at all next season. And you wonder, what's the truth, right? Like, ownership, are you being real with us? What's going to happen? Are you going to build around him? It's great to know that they're not going to waive him, but we need more. Like, right, I want to know more. What's the plan outside of rehab, and what are we going to do to get our key guys some help?
Yeah, I mean, he was a key part of the team, and like, I think not last season, but not the season that just finished, but the season before, when the Bulls, like, you know, had a really good record, they were playing well. I mean, he was a really big part of it, and his loss has been clear for the Bulls.
Key part.
Yeah. So,
yes, look, absolutely.
I wish Lonzo all the best. I don't know what else to say. It sounds
we
like,
all do. I hate it for him.
Yeah. Not going to see him next season.
Because we know That's how really great he can be as a player.
I know. And it's actually crazy because
I have to say real quick, you know,
no, for all the stuff with like Big Baller Brand, right? Right now, like, Lonzo hasn't been playing, LaMelo hasn't been playing, you know, it's just, it's crazy. Like, we need the Ball brothers playing. Like, they both have something to bring for basketball. So
yes.
You asked me my first thoughts. Those were my thoughts as a fan and just someone in Chicago, but my real first thoughts from just a management perspective was, okay, if you're rehabbing and you're not going to be on the court, get you in a broadcast booth. Like, obviously you need to start thinking about what you can do should this take longer than expected, should the worst happen. I want to see him in media. I want to see him get a plan B going. I want to see his face out there and still be able to talk ball even if he can't play it. So
yeah, I wonder what he would be like as a, look at, this is the marketing guru at work. Okay, I never even thought about that. He could definitely look to his boss. We know he loves being in front of the screen. All right, let's keep it in Chicago. D-Wade is talking about investing in the Sky. How you feel about that, Sabria?
Yes.
Listen, I love it. We just got some news a couple weeks ago about 8 investors being added, including the co-owner of the Cubs and the CEO of Foot Locker, to bring someone like D-Wade, right? Ties to the city, monumental in just Chicago basketball, and a little selfishly in parentheses, like, we know, I've seen the interviews, I know they keep things separate, but I'm hoping he could bring a little Gabby with him, because she is also a in the ownership group of Angel City Football Club. So she's there in women's sports. She has a business mind, and I'm hoping they could make some magic happen with this guy.
Okay. So you like this. This would be a good look.
I mean, yes. And I may or may not just be saying it because I hope to run into him one day. But yes, I definitely would love to see, you know, listen, don't get Siobhan on me, but if the Heat not going to use them, we will.
All right. So I want to switch gears to something that, you know, Sabria, I saw you tweeting about it because there's been some things happening in Washington sports. And Kelsey, like, I need you to weigh in on this too, because you're there on the ground. And so there's a Qatar Investment Group who I think they're a minority investor in Monumental Sports out in Washington, but NBC Sports Washington is also rebranding as well. And so it's all going to be Monumental. Yeah. And so so when I saw Sabria's tweet initially, because like a lot of this is like, oh, Wizards parents, or it's like Wizards Capitals, but like this also impacts the Mystics too. So, I mean, I want to hear from both of you, but like Sabria, yeah, tell me from the W perspective, what you think this means.
Okay, so yes, it's minority, like you said, I believe 5%. Immediately on my notes, it's hashtag Monumental Takeover, literally. And I'm very interested to see how the WNBA players are going to react, because right now, I think from the facility standpoint, just from the investment, they are doing a great job. Like, we want to see them in a bigger arena, obviously, but this isn't a team that I think has scraps that is like begging for so much more that they may be willing to put their differences and ideologies aside for the acceptance of this. So okay, I'm very interested to see how they feel. It's great that the new revamp includes a wave of new studio programming. And so if maybe that helps them with, you know, blackouts and just accessibility for WNBA coverage, I think that could be a plus. But definitely interested to see how the players feel, especially since the W is full of, you know, Black women, women of color, and in the queer community, what this would mean for them and their ownership group.
Kelsey, I'm curious, you know, because the Mystics were initially very excited at the beginning of the season with the additional coverage that NBC Sports Washington was going to be providing with the pre and post game. Do you think, I don't expect Monumental to cut that, but do you think it's a good thing, or like, do you think there'll be something more beneficial that's coming with this rebrand and everything that's happening with Monumental?
Yeah, so just to make sure people are up to date on everything, so Comcast has sold now NBC Sports Washington, as you said, which is now becoming Monumental Sports Network. Monumental Sports Network has existed. They have had original programming. But I think to the point that you all are making, I do think we wanted to focus more on Washington Mystics basketball. Washington Mystics, as you said, they have a brand new state-of-the-art arena in Southeast D.C. Fans are going there. And also, I think just being in D.C., the nation's capital, it provides a unique opportunity. And, you know, shout out to Christy Winterscott and Megan McPeak, who have been on the Washington Mystics beat for a long time and will continue to be. I think the biggest thing that was just seeing, and I think the Qatar news might have been news for other folks, but if you live in Washington, D.C., let me tell you, the Embassy of Qatar, Etihad Airways, and they've had their footprints on a lot of sporting events, not just basketball, the City Open and so much more. Qatar is investing in sports. Ted Leonsis, the Wizards owner, is not afraid of it. And I think he's really begun to brand this team as more international. You can kind of see it with the international players and some of the decisions that have been made. But all in all, you know, you get somebody like Rachel Nichols, who was coming to town, well, back to her hometown, I should say, since she is from the area, she'll be having her own show. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, making sure that the Mystics aren't forgotten. You know, I've been in DC where we're still kind of mad that the Mystics didn't get the parade that they deserved here in the nation's capital. So making sure that the Wizards that the Mystics continue to get, you know, their due justice, because as people are talking about this, I think Sabria hit the nail on the head. I keep hearing about Caps coverage and Wizards coverage, but let's not forget the monument that Mystics are right there. But I do think, you know, Zach Leontis, who was over this Monumental Sports Network, I do think he will do it justice. Remember, this is going to be a 24-hour programming network, so they need the content. They're trying to fill the airspace. And obviously the Mystics, I think, have a lot of that. Natasha Cloud, somebody like that who's in the community. I think the great thing about DC is that there's so much that these players are also doing on an advocacy level that can contribute to TV shows and so much more. So all in all, I'm excited for this, and I better believe in DC. We'll keep the pressure on that to make sure that the Mystics get the coverage that they deserve, because they do have a fan base here, and that fan base here is loyal and dedicated, and they will make sure that when they turn on their TVs, they can watch more of these players off the basketball court.
Okay, so you know what? You know, the Mystics, Shakira Austin is on the Mystics, and she was not on Sabria Whitaker's All-Star ballot. And I know when you were on a couple of weeks ago, you were hoping that she would make it. So she did not make yours, Sabria. And I don't know, is she a snub, or can you just tell us quickly how this is your final ballot, how you reached to these selections?
So I will say I had two asterisks under that I deleted from my message to you, but she was. I actually could not really choose between her and Nafisa. I think she's going to be there. And so, right, like I said before, this is why you have fan voting, player voting, and media voting, because it's hard to look at all sides. There are biases, and hopefully by including everyone, it'll work itself out. I still think she's a star. I still think she's going to be there. It was a hard decision. So yeah, it was hard. This is really hard. So shout out to all the voters, because this is probably the hardest thing you've ever asked me to do before coming on this show.
Is it? When is the actual announcement gonna come, Sabria?
Sabria, when is the actual announcement? Or like my real?
No, like from the league when I'm find out, like, because they voted the league week, the media.
Yeah, they just turned it in, but I'm not sure if the players have turned theirs in.
Okay, so we'll know soon. So let's see how your ballot, let's have you back on when the results are announced, and let's see how your ballot stacks up to what ends up being the official. Sabria Whitaker, thank you so much for joining us. You will be seeing a lot of Sabria this summer. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, y'all.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, guys. So, Brother from Another, we will be off next week, just for the week. But don't worry, we'll definitely be back with a summer schedule, a new schedule. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, beginning the week of July 3rd, we'll be back to cover free agency. Still 3 to 4, but only Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays throughout July and August. Kelsey Nicole Nelson, thank you so much for joining me today. I always appreciate you on Ladies
First
Friday.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, this was great, and we had the
so
curly hair thing
going. So much
fun,
appreciate that.
Get some curly hair, big hair, don't care, y'all. Have a great weekend, guys. Remember, we won't be here next week, but we'll be back. We will be back in July.
See you in July.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.